Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Coming up on podcast 1357, the future of heating your home is probably electric, and I'll tell you why. On the show today, why we need to decarbonize our home heating, what is a heat pump, how efficient are they, and how much does it cost to install a heat pump? Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. It's a weekend Saturday special interview. My name is Martin Lee, and occasionally we love to bring you interviews with these kind of thought leaders in and around the electric space. Now, when it came to decarbonise my travel, there were already some great choices of electric vehicles on the market when I wanted to buy one. As many of you know, our first EV many years ago was the original Renault Zoe, but it was still a great choice. We weren't making huge sacrifices. There were options on the market to pick from. Well, after you've bought your first EV, many people turn to other things in their life which need to be cleaned up, and one of those is home heating. Now, I remember growing up in the 1980s with overnight cheap rate electricity. That would heat storage heaters. They would then give out heat slowly during the day, but by the evening, when it got cold, they'd inevitably run out of heat. And my goodness me, they were terrible. But they were electric. But there's really no alternative to heating your home unless you use a gas boiler. If you want that kind of instant, efficient heating. In all of my adult life, in every house I've owned or rented, we've always had gas heating, and often gas cooking as well. In fact, 17 million homes in the UK alone use gas boilers. They burn tons of fossil fuels just to stay warm. But only recently, on my visit to Octopus Energy, did I discover that 1.5 million people in the UK alone replace their gas boilers every single year. That seems to me an even higher percentage as a total proportion of the customer base than people who replace their car every year. If you think about all the people with cars versus all the people with gas boilers and how many are getting replaced every single year with brand new ones. Well, if we can replace our cars to be green, why not our boilers and heat our homes and hot water with electricity that doesn't cost the earth? The answer, of course, is there's been no suitable alternative until now. I was invited, alongside my friend Nick Romo from the EV Nick YouTube channel, to go and look inside a secret research and development building designed and owned by Octopus Energy. From the outside, you'd never know what was to be found locked away inside this innocuous warehouse on the outskirts of London. Octopus Energy on the inside have built two real-life detached homes inside a warehouse. It's amazing. You walk in, there's just these two full-size houses, one built to 1970s building specifications, one built to more modern regulations. They are otherwise absolutely standard, legit houses. Inside, they're painted, decorated. They got heating radiators, obviously. They're furnished. If you didn't know that you were inside, you'd shut the front door and think you're in someone's house. We were invited down there before Christmas to have a look at the work Octopus are doing with heat pump technology. We discovered that heat pumps have been around for 160 years, and when you think about it, we use them every day already. Our kitchen fridge is just a reverse heat pump. The advantage of heating our homes, though, with the heat pump is that they are crazy off-the-scale efficient. However, until today, we never had the technology to decarbonise our home heating and make it as responsive as a gas boiler. Heat pumps use electricity to exchange heat from energy from the cold side, the outside, and moving it to the inside. And for every kilowatt of electricity a heat pump is given, it creates between 2 and 4, if not more, kilowatts of heat. There's 4 times much as efficiency as a gas boiler. And I'm always saying on this podcast, you know, we need to provide people the help and support they need to buy an electric car. And I think exactly the same applies to home insulation, solar PV, solar thermal, and yes, heat pumps. And that's what Octopus have in mind. Nick and I spoke to John Shimek, the CEO of Octopus Energy Services, to find out more. And I started by asking John why we got to bin the old boilers.
It's unquestionable that we need to decarbonise heating in the UK in order to reach net zero. We've got over 20 million gas boilers in operation in domestic homes across the UK, you know, producing a huge amount of carbon emissions. Heat pumps, for for us are the right technology to decarbonise very, very quickly. They run off of electricity, which is increasingly generated from renewable sources, and they turn one unit of energy into a heat pump into as much as four units of energy out. So they're super, super efficient. You'd never get that sort of efficiency with a technology that burns a fossil fuel. In most instances, you know, the retrofit process is relatively straightforward. In the typical homes in the UK, which is what we're now targeting and what you can see between us here, you know, we can bring the installation process down to a couple of days, and that is, you know, the installation of an entire renewable heating system.
Okay, we'll get onto heat pumps specifically in a second. I've got a lot of questions I know you want to ask. Yeah. But first of all, if our listeners and viewers can hear some noise in the background, it's because this is very much a work in progress. Tell us about this building. You barely moved in. A bunch of building work happening we can't talk about back there. Or maybe you can. Tell us about what's happening here.
Yeah, so this is a £10 million investment. This is a centre of excellence, really, for renewable heating and low carbon heating. So we've got a combination of things going on here. We've got demonstrations of technology and how these technologies work, so we can talk to people like yourselves and explain these, and to your viewers as well. We've got a training centre at the core of this location where we've developed our own heat pump training, so we can train engineers who are making a racket in the background currently. So we bring people in from various different entry points from the industry, from relatively inexperienced to fairly experienced with heating solutions, upskill them to become heating engineers. And we've also got an R&D facility here as well. So we're talking about how we test technologies, how we tweak and optimise those for the UK market and for our consumers. So it's a combination of those things.
So you built basically two houses in this warehouse unit. How many, what's the difference between the two houses and why have you built two?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we've built two three-bed houses, typical size, and we've built one that's a sort of 1970s era, brick-built cavity wall property, and we've built a more modern sort of 2000 plus era, timber frame, very well insulated house. The reason that we've done these is because they present slightly different considerations when you're thinking about how you would install a heat pump or a low carbon heating system. And they really are live training rigs for engineers. The meters are under the stairs where they would be. You know, we've been no concessions for how you would carry out an installation in a real home. So our engineers are coming to these properties. They're able to carry out a full survey like you would in you know, a consumer's home, design a solution that's appropriate for the property and install it. And then we uninstall it and then we do that process again and we just keep practicing and practicing and practicing to optimise as much as possible.
So you've not made the way these houses are built any different to what it would be in traditional sort of day-to-day living?
Absolutely not. No, they're built to building regulations, standards, you know, of their era. So, yeah, exact replicas.
Now, a lot of people would think of Octopus, before I knew, as the company who send me a bill for my electricity and gas. Increasingly, the company would come around and maybe put a charger on my wall, and even I would lease an EV from with your business there. But do you think people might be surprised to hear that you are investing so much money in this kind of facility to train the people who are going to be fitting these heat pumps in houses? Some would say that's not really your job, is it? Or is it the job of an energy company?
Well, so the business that I look after, Octopus Energy Services, currently has about 500 engineers deployed across the UK. We fit 10,000 smart meters every week. We fit an increasing volume of chargers, both domestic and commercially, and charging infrastructure. And a low carbon heating solution is the obvious technology that we need to install in order to tackle climate change, and that is a real focus for our group. So I don't think it's any surprise to us, certainly internally, why this wouldn't be an obvious choice. You know, everything we do is on that theme, as you've rightly said. We generate renewable energy, we sell renewable energy, we lease electric vehicles, we install smart meters and charging infrastructure, we install low carbon heating solutions. You know, for us it's fairly natural.
So does Octopus see this as one of the single biggest things that you can do to reduce your carbon emissions?
Yeah, in certain terms, reducing UK's carbon emissions is critically important. You know, domestic heating in the UK is contributing nearly as much as transportation. It's a huge, huge problem that needs to be solved.
So me and Martin will come across this all the time, which is people saying that hydrogen is a better solution in the UK. We've already got boilers. But Octopus, you've decided to go down the heat pump route. And you run basically a myth-busting class here as well, I believe.
We do. Well, so heat pump technology is available now. You know, we have installed in the UK thousands and thousands of heat pumps. We will increasingly be installing thousands and thousands more, and hundreds of thousands more, hopefully. The technology is available. It's available now. It can reuse, as I say, it can use renewable energy to generate heat and hot water for a building. hydrogen has probably got a place in other applications, but we don't think it's the right solution for domestic heating across the UK.
And how much is this going to cost me as an end user to get this installed?
Yeah, so every installation is priced for the particular customer, a particular home, and sized appropriately for that property and that customer's needs. A real drive here and focus on bringing down the cost. We would expect over a period of time to get to the same price as a gas boiler exchange, maybe within 18 months to 2 years.
And is that without government grant or with a government grant?
In the short term, there's a government subsidy becoming available early part of next year, which will help bridge that gap. We won't be stopping there though with our drive to reduce costs. We hope very much that grant, you know, will be phased out, over a couple of years. And as I say, we can kind of really, really drive to bring those costs down to similar to gas boiler exchange.
All right, we'll take a quick break there. And when we come back, we'll talk about how they seem to have this magical property of putting in a little bit of energy and getting a lot of energy out. How does that work? We'll find out next. Why is the technology in a heat pump, as we start to think about our home energy usage, the energy that goes in our car, the energy that we use for heating and hot water, all becomes the same thing? Why are these so good and so efficient in terms of the technology inside what a heat pump is?
Yeah, we touched on it earlier. So a heat pump fundamentally takes ambient heat or warmth out of the air, and it converts that into heat energy that heats your hot water for your heating system and your hot water needs inside the property. These heat pumps currently can produce an efficiency 3.5 to 4 times. So one unit of energy in produces 3.5 to 4 units of energy out. You can't achieve that with a fossil fuel boiler or combustion process. If you put one unit of energy into a gas boiler, you'll at best maybe get 0.9 units of energy out the other side of it. So they're really magic, you know, they're generating, you know, efficiency. It's by far and away the most efficient technology that you can use.
So I understand they take heat out of the air. Now, I kind of know the answer to this already because we've got an air conditioner at home with a heat pump in. So this week, we're filming this in winter, it was -1 outside. My air conditioner was blowing hot air at me.
Yep.
But for anyone watching this thinking, so does it have to be hot outside to extract heat from the air? Do they work when it's cold?
Absolutely, yeah. And actually, where you look at the deployment of heat pumps internationally, they're prevalent in Scandinavian countries that have much colder climates than ours. Heat pumps absolutely can work down to negative temperature conditions. We've got pictures of customers that have taken, you know, with snow on the top of their heat pump and they're, you know, 21 degrees room temperature inside their home. So absolutely, the UK climate is not a challenge for heat pumps.
With the way Octopus works with energy, are these heat pumps going to be working with your adaptive tariffs like Agile, always capitalising on the cheapest price points, or are you just going to see these running all the time 24/7?
The beauty of a heat pump is you can be flexible with when you use it. It's not like a gas boiler. You don't need to turn that on at that particular precise moment that you want to generate hot water out of your taps. You can use a heat pump more flexibly to charge hot water in a hot water cylinder and use that at a time that you want to and heat your home over a longer period of time more slowly. So absolutely. And you know, our Agile tariff adapts, you know, adjusts the price based on, you know, the price on the grid and also the carbon intensity. And you can use those signals to control when you operate a heat pump. It gives you much, much more flexibility than most other heating systems. So you're quite right. Yeah.
Yeah. So rather than just having a standard hot, you know, really hot temperature in your house, you're opening your windows, you've made it too hot, you've just got a cozy heat pretty much 24/7 in your home. And is this going to require underfloor heating installed in everyone's home, or can we just run it off a traditional wet radiator system?
No, you can definitely run it off a wet radiator system. Part of the survey process is to determine you know, whether you've got enough emitters in your property to work properly with a heat pump. That's typically the case. Where not, we might be talking about changing maybe a single panel radiator to a double panel radiator in some of the rooms that you use more frequently or some of the larger rooms in a property. But the cost of upgrading radiators relative to the cost of the installation is fairly insignificant. It's really not a barrier to just having a heat pump. It's just part of the installation process, and we'll do that at the same time.
Now, before we came out, we're filming this in November, December in the UK, pretty cold here, right? Before I came out today, I looked at my smart meter on top of my microwave, and Octopus had billed me £30 for my gas last month. That's for a month in the winter in the UK, and we got heating and hot water, and it just seems to me like we're not rich, but it seems ridiculously cheap. £30 a month to heat my house on gas, right? So whereas my electricity bill is more. I have an EV, I get that.
Yep.
So there might be people watching this thinking, but isn't gas really cheap to buy? What happens in the market to make it that cheap?
Yeah, gas is artificially cheap in the UK.
How come?
typically the costs and the levies that are associated with you know, carbon generation in the UK are applied to electricity bills and not to the gas tariffs. So electricity is artificially expensive, gas is artificially cheap. There needs to be a rebalancing of those costs and those levies and taxes across the two fuels to better reflect the fact that you can have renewable energy and using renewable electricity is a better choice than burning fossil fuels and using gas.
Wow.
And the government recognises that, you know, they're talking about that.
Actually. So that gas is cheap, it's not the market dictating that, it's artificially cheap. So that's why people are thinking, well, hang on, why should I leave a gas boiler? It's really cheap. How do we fix that? It's a really complex problem on a national, international kind of regulatory basis. How do we fix those markets that are being heavily subsidised at the minute? There's so many jobs involved.
There's definitely a challenge that the government needs to consider what the right solution is. But I think there's general recognition that a solution is required there. The final mechanism that they land on for solving that, you know, will be decided, you know, over, of course, hopefully a relatively short space of time. But an adjustment there is necessary. In the meantime, using our tariffs, as we've described earlier, you can run a heat pump, you know, at cost parity with a gas boiler, with a degree of optimisation and flexibility in the system.
And what we've also looked in this centre is that you're looking at solar, battery systems, vehicle-to-grid systems. Obviously, with all those techs combined, I presume that the overall cost of running the heat pump just comes down again. And I presume using a mixture of those technologies, we hit price parity even now with gas?
Definitely, that's right. You can optimise use of your heat pump to be parable. We've looked at customers of ours that have got heat pumps and what it's costing them to run over a period of time, and we've seen customers that have, I say, adjusted the running of their heat pump to be parable with the heating cost of a gas boiler. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about storage and how that integrates as well, because a lot of our audience are interested in home storage and using cars as well. Of course, you can, if you want, have a Leaf or a CHAdeMO car that will take energy out of that car. Is that something that forms part of the solution for people who want to go all in on this? Like, do they need vehicle to grid? Is it kind of a nice experiment at the minute? Where are you on that?
We've been heavily involved in a vehicle to grid trial in the UK, as you well know, and we've, you know, rolled out a number of vehicle to grid chargers that are, you know, actively tested and trialled by our participants right now. I think it's got a really exciting opportunity to help solve the demands on the grid and levelise that to periods where, you know, perhaps there's not as much renewables on the grid that we would like. You know, it's another source of flexible energy use, and you can store, you know, enough power in your car to provide export at the periods in time when the grid's particularly carbon intensive, the price might be quite high, and vice versa. You can charge your car at times when the grid is very, very green and the price is low, as I know you've experienced.
Yeah, yourself. Yeah. And so, but that's interesting, right? I thought that I was going into this for green reasons, like this, my whole interest in finding a company that would sell me renewable energy. I thought I was being green. Yeah. Ultimately, I think we're all, as the human race, I believe we operate in our own self-interest fundamentally. Like, I want to do the right thing for my, you know, future generations and the society. I get all that, and I do want to. Yep. But ultimately, if I've got more pounds in my pocket and I can still afford to live, heat my house, feed my family, that makes a real difference to me. And so that seems to be the key, is it's like, yeah, you know, I did get a price, I mean, a long time ago, on a heat pump, £10,000-£12,000 for my house. Yep. As much as I'm into this technology, I'm just not going to do that. But the key is getting the price for these down, right?
Absolutely. And as I say, to the point where if your gas boiler breaks, which it will at some point during its life, your default decision is not just to have another gas boiler installed. And, you know, we need to be in a position where that decision is viable for most people in the UK. And that does mean bringing the price down. And that's, you know, a relentless part of our, you know, we're relentlessly determined to do that, and we are doing that already. So the government subsidy scheme will help in the short term. Longer term, economies of scale and optimization will mean that we can achieve that without subsidies.
One of the things I love talking about EVs and this technology is very fast moving. Now, we're standing next to these because it made a nice shot, by the way, but what is over there are some much smaller units. So not only is the price coming down, but what's the pace of technology? Because there are some really, well, much smaller versions than this just around the corner. How, you know, how small can they get?
The The interesting thing is the design of a heat pump, for me, doesn't look particularly well thought through at the moment. It's not the most beautiful thing that you'd kind of want to put on.
They're a little bit industrial at the moment. It's probably a fair way of putting it.
It's functional, it does a job, it's not particularly beautiful to look at. There are lots of things that we can do. We can talk about how you optimise the size of a heat pump for the particular application. A smaller property needs a smaller heat pump, and you can, you know, as we bring the size down, you can think about different ways to design that. You can think about different ways to design a heat pump of that size currently, and we've got cylindrical heat pumps that already exist that people sight a little way down the garden. You know, they're completely out of your sight. There's lots that can be done. I think, you know, fundamentally, we need a larger market. We need more people to be thinking about adopting heat pumps. More stimulus to create more incentives to try and think about design and size and function and optimization. All of those things will naturally come as we kind of drive demand and build a bigger market for the adoption of heat pumps.
So this research centre, forgive me if I'm wrong, but it's world of its, you know, it's the first in the world of its kind of at the moment. What you're doing here, the way you're training engineers, the schemes you're going through. I mean, how many engineers are you planning to get fully trained here, Bally?
Yeah, this is fairly unique in the breadth of what it covers and the way that we do that. We can train 1,000 engineers a year here, which is, you know, significant number of heat pump engineers that can come through this centre.
And back to price parity before, we were talking about gas prices being artificially low with levy. But obviously in April we have another thing that's going to happen, which is the government price cap on gas and electricity is more than likely going to go up. I mean, as we record this, price levels wholesale are through the roof. Do you reckon that price cap coming off might bring gas to a more parity level with electric? Do you think it might mean that there's a bit more interest in it? Obviously in April you've got the grant, you've got the possible price cap. Is it going to be more of an interest by then?
There's a number of external factors at the moment that are contributing towards the decision-making process to move to low-carbon heating versus, you know, burning fossil fuels. Prices, running costs are part of that. General awareness about the impactfulness of, you know, fossil fuels and using fossil fuel boilers has on the climate, is very well understood as well. So I think, you know, I don't think there's one particular thing in of itself that is going to suddenly stimulate the market. There's a range of factors and a range of things that need to come together before we kind of get a full mass market rollout. Pricing is certainly part of that. The price at which we can install this technology is a part of that. The speed at which we can install it, the impactfulness of our proposition and our offer and the service that we can provide to our customers. These are all kind of factors in the increasing demand for heat pumps. So I don't think there's one particular thing that's going to suddenly stimulate the market. I think it's a coming together of all of those factors. And it does feel like, you know, these things are starting to merge now, right? And we are getting to the point where very, very soon people will kind of be very aware of this. It will be affordable. It makes sense. And we can deploy it at scale. That feels, you know, imminent, you know, which is really exciting.
Wow, I think it's going to be a lot of good news for people watching this and listening to this. I can't wait to have one of these, maybe not one of these, outside my home, but it's dead exciting, that electric life of the car, heating, hot water, induction hob, etc. I mean, I'm just completely all in. I'm so excited about it, and fascinating to come here today. John, if people want to find out more about what you're doing, where can people go to find out more?
Go to the Octopus Energy website. We talk about heat pumps and what we're doing there. That's the best source of information right now for most people here.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to John and the team at Octopus Energy once again for the invite down there. Really enjoyed it. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.